Radio Reverb.
Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Due to the coronavirus pandemic and the government's advice on social distancing, the HIV Hour will be slightly different for now. Sue, Carl, Stuart and myself will keep you up to date regarding all the news with coronavirus and HIV, plus any other interesting stories, and of course great music. These are challenging times ahead, and we all need to feel connected and supported as much as possible. And we hope we can deliver that to you, our listeners. If you want to contact us, please do, at the usual way, hivhour@gmail.com, and Twitter and Instagram at hiv_hour. I'm glad you're listening, and glad we're broadcasting. We've got Sue next, who's going to be talking about HIV and the coronavirus and keeping well and healthy. Thanks, Sue.
Now, as we can see, coronavirus is all in the news. Whenever you turn on the news, you turn on your phone, you go to your Facebook or your what have you, coronavirus. And it's going to be a scary time, I think, for all of us in the UK, and especially people living with HIV. And what I'd like to just sort of have a chat about is, if you're feeling a bit scared about living with HIV and about all this sort of information that's coming out at the moment, my advice is go to the Terence Higgins Trust website. I know they're doing incredibly regular updates for people living with HIV. I had a bit of a scare myself, actually, last week. They were saying, because, you know, they're talking about who should self-isolate. I know the first stage of self-isolating is going ahead for 12 weeks. And in that sort of category of who should self-isolate, that HIV and AIDS is on one of those health conditions. But we had a statement come out by Michael Brady. He is the Terence Higgins Trust Health Director. And he did actually put a statement out last week saying that if someone is living with HIV, has a viral load undetectable, and has a CD4, over 350, we pose no other. In other words, you know, our immune system is would not be compromised as in comparison to anybody else. That's what he was trying to say. So because we take the medication, we've got a healthy CD4. Now, if you're thinking, well, oh, actually, I've got quite a low CD4, and you were probably right in thinking, because I got a bit scared myself, because I've always had, over the last 14 years, I've always had a low CD4, always had an undetectable viral load, and I've always been very healthy. And I'm touching wood, as I say, because I never ever take that for granted, but I've always had, and always had an argument with my clinician saying, how come I've always got a CD4? And I think the highest CD4 I've ever had was about 650. On a few times, but the last CD4 count I had was in 2016, because not all clinicians do a CD4 count now. It was 348. So, of course, I'm getting into panic mode, aren't I? So, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to self-isolate. Oh, my goodness, now I pose more health risks, you know. So I got in contact with my consultant, and we had a very honest conversation on the phone. And apparently she knew Michael Bradley very well. And, you know, you're touching 350, but obviously I can't tell you 100%. But I felt okay about that. Now, it was only a couple of days later, Michael Brady came out with a new statistic saying that if you've got a CD4 over 200, or, you know, 200 and over, and you've got an undetectable viral load, you pose no other risk as anyone else would. You know, okay, we may get it, but, you know, it doesn't compromise us, you know, as much as anybody else. So I suppose what I'm trying to say, if you're a bit concerned, perhaps you have a low CD4, just contact your consultant, get some information off the Terence Higgins Trust, and, you know, don't be sitting there at home worrying like I did. And I admit I did for a couple of days. I spoke to my consultant and that sort of put me at ease. But the medical director, Michael Brady, he is putting out very regular information on the Terence Higgins Trust website, because we're all feeling a bit anxious, and especially people with living with HIV. So don't, you know, worry in silence. Talk to your consultant, that, you know, they can arrange a talk back on a phone. Visit the Terence Higgins Trust website, or, you know, so... yeah, information, get as much information as you can.
Radio Reverb. So I've got an interesting story. As the coronavirus bears down on Britain's overstretched, underfunded National Health Service, a London hospital lies empty. Now, this is, of course, is the Mildmay Mission Hospital, which is in Shoreditch. It's the UK's only HIV and AIDS specialist hospital. And I think that's actually in Europe as well. So it's been there for a long time, but it was due for closure in this month. Many of the beds at the Mildmay Mission Hospital are vacant. The referrals have plummeted. Bedding remains neatly made. And clinicians remain on alert, and they're ready for the influx of the COVID-19 patients. So the Mildmay Hospital, like I said, is the only specialised hospital for treating those living with HIV. And Princess Diana and Prince Harry have walked through the corridors and given their support, which is amazing. Hospital leaders, staffers and HIV advocates are scrambling to pressure the government to keep the clinic open. And despite a shortage of beds looming over doctors, lawmakers have excluded the Mildmay from any emergency measures. So this is according to Mildmay's chief executive, Jeff Coleman. Now, Jeff says, even as Mildmay Hospitals stands ready to help ease the burden on overstretched and overstressed NHS hospitals during the COVID-19 epidemic, it has so far been excluded from any emergency measures. Despite the COVID-19 epidemic impact on the NHS, London's only HIV/AIDS hospital faces imminent closure. So today, the Mildmay is still waiting to be commissioned, and most of the hospital beds lie empty. Now, I think they should be utilising all means of beds and anything they can use, because I know London is 2 weeks ahead, according to the news. So, and as more people get infected, they will need these beds. And so hopefully the government will see that and use the Mildmay. That's what it's there for. Jeff also says that our clinical and support staff are on alert and waiting to go into action. We are aware that the NHS commissioners have been allocated emergency funding to take any measures necessary to deal with the crisis across London. But despite Health Secretary Matt Hancock saying our policy is to fight the virus, and with everything we've got, we have still not been contacted. HIV acquisition rates are bottoming out in Britain due to leaps in treatment. Jeff said that the need for the hospital to consider shutter doors wouldn't be for another 5 or 10 years. There's still a need there for people to get treatment and to get support, and yeah, definitely. And it's a bit of a surprise in the autumn last year when our referrals dropped off the cliff edge. He said, quite a few health leaders are quite concerned that the coronavirus is essentially magnetising all available resources. Jeff also explained that the patients living with HIV will, instead of being referred to Mildmay, they'll be staying in infectious disease wards. And he thinks that they might be needing them for other things like the coronavirus. And so patients are going to be sitting in those beds, taking up valuable hospital beds. The doctors and nurses are frightened. They're terrified of the days and the weeks ahead and the tough choices that we all have to make and rationed resources. So the hospitals will soon be overwhelmed with patients as coronavirus cases creep upwards. And the British government's sluggish handling of the crisis has only intensified the situation. So the doctors and the nurses and all the people at the Malmö are there waiting to help and support and care for anybody who has contracted this coronavirus. So it's one to watch. Hopefully the government will see sense and get the Malmö back in action. So I'm going to read a short story now to hopefully inspire people who are listening. It's called We Are Never Alone. Do you know the legend of the Cherokee Indian youth's rite of passage? His father takes him into the forest, blindfolded, and leaves him alone. He's required to sit on a stump the whole night and not take off the blindfold until the ray of sun shines through it. He's all by himself. He cannot cry out for help to anyone. Once he survives the night, he is a man. He cannot tell the other boys of his experience. Each boy must come into his own manhood. The boy was terrified. Could hear all kinds of noise. Beasts were all around him. Maybe even some human would hurt him. The wind blew the grass and the earth, and it shook his stump. But he sat stoically, never removing the blindfold. It would be the only way he could be a man. Finally, after a horrific night, the sun appeared and he removed his blindfold. It was then that he saw his father sitting on the stump next to him, at watch the entire night. We are never truly alone, even when we do not know it. Our family and friends are watching out for us, sitting on a stump beside us. Welcome back to the HRV Hour on Radio Reverb at 97.2 FM. So here's a story from Sue. She's comparing the outbreak of the HIV virus to the outbreak of the coronavirus, and there's different stories going around how it's very similar. So have a listen.
Now, with the coronavirus, I don't know whether you've heard lots of comments, especially perhaps lots of fake news on social media about the comparisons between AIDS, the onset of AIDS, to the onset of the coronavirus. There's a commentary by a journalist called Mark S. King from the States. And he is saying, stop comparing the response to coronavirus to the early response to AIDS. It's insulting. And he goes on to say, there is no comparison to a new viral outbreak that might kill people society actually values, like your grandmother and her friends in the nursing home. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to read, because it's a really interesting piece he has wrote. And I really do want to read it because it's quite touching, actually. He goes on to say, people ask me if our lives today feel like the early years of HIV and AIDS. I want to scream. There is no comparison. Just stop it. No one cared about people dying of AIDS in the early years of the pandemic. The stock market didn't budge. Budget. The president didn't hold new conferences. Billions of dollars were not spent. In the early 1980s, AIDS was killing all the right people, homosexuals and drug addicts and black men and women. There is no comparison to a new viral outbreak that might kill people society actually values, like your grandmother and her friends in the nursing home. To have any conversation during the early HIV pandemic meant talking about anal sex and sharing needles and condoms and religion and who God was punishing. We had to climb over mountains of social bias in order to educate people on the basic facts of risk and transmission. Social distancing wasn't easy then, because the bodies of your friends were so consumed by dark purple skin lesions that they were barely recognisable as human. There were no congressional bills promising them paid sick leave or help with their medical bills. They were kicked out of their apartments, then died in the guest room. Who had ever had the space and the guts to care for them? Tens of thousands of people died of AIDS-related complications before our government began to address it. Many, many of those people spent their last breath in centre of protests in the streets, begging for justice and relief. Their ashes were dumped on the White House lawn. The activism today in the work before public health and community health advocates, that's a difference, not a similarity. To draw blithe comparisons, and he goes on to say, oh, this feels so scary, and there are lines at the grocery store and people have to stay away from each other. Hey, does this feel like HIV happened? It's an insult to the bravery and the absolute sacrifice of the living and the dead. There is no comparison. Just stop it. And I just wanted to read all of that because I didn't want to miss anything that he'd sort of done for the LGBTQ Nation newspaper. And it was so poignant because I remember, and perhaps many of you did, when we first had the outbreak of, as it was, AIDS back in the day when it first came into the UK. And I was shocked, and many of you remember those leaflets that were terrifying coming through our letterboxes, sitting on the mat, saying, don't die of ignorance. And it was a very, very scary time. And he's right. It's an absolute insult to even imagine and to perceive it was it's a comparison to what we're having today. Yes, it's scary. It is very scary, and it's going to be very scary times. And especially for people that have been living with HIV for many, many years. I have many friends that have been living with HIV for 35 years and remember the AIDS epidemic as it was back then. And they must be feeling incredibly scared by perhaps what's going on now, but with absolutely no comparison of, and if we think about, 38 million people have died from HIV and AIDS around the world. And a lot of advocates that stood up for the rights of people living and now died from HIV and AIDS around the world that stood up and were counted and lost their lives when there was absolutely no medication and not many people helping or standing up for them. And I have an admiration of what we had in the past for what we have now, because to be absolutely honest, I believe what we have now with HIV, the medication we have now, the healthcare now, people are standing up eventually. Over 30 years of trying to make our governments realise that this is real and it can happen to anybody. I have tremendous admiration for the people that lay down their lives in the fight of HIV and AIDS. And I remember one of the press cuttings, and actually on TV, when, one of the things they were trying to do in the States, and I actually seen this on the television, where the partners of people that had died from AIDS, they were taking their ashes, and they were literally, and I seen this on the television, they were taking their ashes and chucking them in the White House gardens. And that must have been hard, because and that was making a statement. And they were literally telling them, look at what is happening. Help us, help us. So I totally agree with Mark King when he's saying, do not make any comparisons. What's happening now is completely different. So, yeah, I just really wanted to read that out for you, not to make you feel depressed or unhappy, or, but to say, you know, we have struggled. The HIV community has struggled for many, 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 many years and quite a few decades to get what we have now. And we're still fighting, aren't we? We're still fighting for being stigmatized, for living with HIV, and we're getting there, but we're still trying to get there. So, yeah, really interesting piece.
So we've got a bit of community news, actually. So a few updates from services around Brighton and Hove. The Sussex Beacon update. This is for the Sussex Beacon and Beacon Care users. The Sussex Beacon will continue to offer support where we can while safeguarding the well-being of service users, staff and volunteers. The inpatient unit remains working as usual and will continue to take admissions with strict screening and guidance in place to ensure the continuing safety of staff, volunteers and patients. They are also maintaining contact with the NHS to ensure that the Sussex Beacon plays the most useful role that it can for the community in this challenging situation. The health management services, many people rely on these services for support. They do not believe at the moment, however, that the safest way to provide these support is at the Beacon or in these groups. So they're like the mindfulness groups, I think. And the health management team will continue to work with clients remotely using phone contact and Skype, etc. The Sussex Beacon shops, they are all closed until further notice, and they want to protect the public and the staff and the volunteers. So here's an update from the Lawson unit. It's important information regarding the coronavirus. So this is updated on the 19th of March, so this keeps changing. So at the moment, this is what they say. If you have no symptoms of cough and or fever and are not living with someone with these symptoms, and you have a routine blood appointment, you can please attend as usual. If you have a routine doctor appointment, they will now conduct this over the telephone and only ask you to come in if necessary. If you require pharmacy scripts, they will be available from collecting from the Lawson unit as usual. Be advised that the advice is changing rapidly, and they'll keep up to date, and we'll keep updating you on the HIV hour. So if you want to contact them, it's this is the Lawson unit, 01273 664722. And finally, an update from Lunch Positive. They say that with regret, all group gatherings are temporarily paused, although they will start these again as soon as government advice allows. In the meantime, they are making special arrangements to provide additional and new types of support. So these are explained on their website, which is lunchpositive.org, on the special plans page. I think it's very heartwarming that we're all finding different ways of doing our normal things and trying to keep everything as normal as possible, which is a great thing to see.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
Health Canada OK's JSK units monthly HIV injection. Now, I know we've spoken about this in the past about, you know, the different ways we take our HIV medication, and there has been some drug trials going on throughout the last couple of years using an injection. Now, HIV treatment division has received approval for its long-acting HIV injection from Canada's healthcare regulator in a major win for the British drug maker after a US rejection late last year. Now, JSK's Viva Healthcare said on Friday that Health Canada has given the green light to Cabanava, I hope I pronounced that right, a monthly injection to suppress the virus. Now, it's aimed as an alternative to daily pills. Now, the US had declined to approve the treatment and questioned its chemistry, manufacturing and controls process, but not its safety in a response letter. Now, the Canadian approval is the first for the regime and bolsters KSK's push to using fewer drugs in HIV treatment, as it looks to bolster sales by offering patients a therapy with fewer potential toxic side effects. Now, it hasn't really laid out on they're saying once a month at the moment for an injection. Now, that's okay if you don't mind injection, but me, personally, I have to say I'm a bit scared of injections, and I have to really build myself up when I even go for my 6 monthly blood. So it may be not for everybody, but you know, it's a thing in the right direction. I know a lot of HIV positive people struggle to take those tablets, and they're not exactly small, are they? I think it's a really positive thing going forward. And again, are we going to perhaps administer that injection ourselves, or are we going to have to go to our HIV consultants, pharmacists, to have that injection for us? And is that going to go on to I've heard of a 6 month injection, and even a 12 month. So it's all positive stuff. But I mean, my question to everybody is, if you had the opportunity, would you take a monthly HIV injection so you wouldn't have to take those daily pills? And like it said, the aim is to try and not put so much of the toxics, you know, so we have less toxic side effects within our system. So it's got to be a good thing, but I think there's still a bit more work to do.
So thank you, Sue. It's been a great show, a bit different this week, but we are dedicated to bringing you some up-to-date news and great music. So I've got a little poem that I'm going to read out to you. This world, this earth we stand on, this is just a moment in time, a moment that we all share. We have the strength to survive and not to surrender, to let go of the fear inside and not fear life itself. So thanks for listening to the HIV Hour. We're all dedicated at Radio Reverb to keep you entertained and informed as best we can throughout these challenging times. So stay strong and well. So it's good night from us all, and big love.
I conferred with our furry friend. Radio Reverb.